It's good to be here again. I really take it as an honor to be invited back to your church. That means I didn't bring so much confusion last time that Pastor Karen thought it good to invite me back. And it's always a pleasure to be here and to see how all of you are growing and the worship that you bring here. It's really extravagant. It's an extravagant time of worship that we just have. That's wonderful. And actually, that's what it's all about. We praise the Lord. Our life should be a praise offering to the Lord. Every time we come before Him, no matter what we do in our everyday lives, our lives should be a praise unto Him. Amen. As Karen already told you, my son Jeremy is with me today. He's 14, looks much older, I know. Just get up, Jeremy, and let them see you. He's very big, huge. We pray that he doesn't grow anymore now, because otherwise, at a certain point, it will be complicated for him to get a wife, you see. And I have a personal driver with me today, David Schwartz. He drove my car here to the church today, and with him is his wonderful fiancée, Sarah. And there is another David from our church, and Manuel, his brother, is also from Schaffhausen. Hallelujah. All glory. So we brought a huge group from Schaffhausen today. When we just came back from the Ukraine on Monday evening last week, we, of course, came in through Zurich Airport, and as you probably know, there is always some advertising of watch brands and so on, and there is always also an advertisement of international watch company Schaffhausen, and this time it went like this: "Welcome to Zurich, a little nice suburb of Schaffhausen." And I liked that, really. Because actually, it's the other way around, you know. Even though Schaffhausen is not really a suburb of Zurich, but we feel very small and insignificant when we compare ourselves to Zurich. And this was so good to read. Welcome to Zurich, a small, nice little suburb of Schaffhausen. Of course, because Schaffhausen is the seat of International Watch Company, one of the world's most famous watch brands. And one of the best watches you can buy. Very expensive, of course. We only do very expensive things in Schaffhausen. Hallelujah. The Lord has no problems with expensive things.
Amen.
He went to the outermost to redeem our lives. He paid a huge price to be able to do that. Today I want to bring you a message. It is for your church. It is for your situation. And it will also be for some of you very personally. And I think it's also for you personally, Pastor Karen. The title of my message today is, God is a Rewarder. God is a Rewarder. And that is so very important. You celebrate your 17th anniversary today. And I'm quite sure that not only Pastor Karen, but also others of you that maybe were here right from the beginning of this church, you had times, you had days, you had hours when you asked yourself, my, is this really God's plan?
Amen.
Or Pastor Karen, maybe you had some weak moments when you thought, I would rather do some other kind of ministry than to be a pastor of a church. And I can feel with her very much so. Because building a church over a time of 17 years, that is really not an easy thing.
Amen.
That is really not easy going all the time.
Amen.
That is really a hard way to go sometimes.
Yes.
Not altogether, because we believe in the Lord and He is with us, and it's actually His plan and His purpose to build strong churches in this country, among our people. But sometimes it's just not an easy task.
That's right.
And so you may ask yourself from time to time, what is it all about? Why am I doing this? What is it up to? Where are we going? Where are we heading? And that is not only so with the church, it is also so with our personal lives, regarding our faith in Christ Jesus. I don't think that any one of us here today, if you are honest, that you never had a time or a moment when you asked yourself, is this really what my life should be all about? Couldn't there be any other way? Wouldn't it be much easier and more rewarding to seek another lifestyle, to go another way, to do like the world does? I mean, the world has, so to say, an easy life. They have their problems and so on, but actually their life is easy. It might seem easy sometimes. I think for us as Christians, it's very important that we never forget the reward that we are up to.
Amen.
We not live just to live. We are not Christians just because the Lord someday found us, by the way. We are not only Christians to be religious. We are not only Christians to live a righteous life in front of everybody. That is not the whole purpose of our Christianity, of our faith. True?
Amen. Amen.
We are not being humble just to be humble. We actually have the hope and the faith that this will lead to something bigger. That this will lead to a reward.
Amen.
I'm absolutely convinced that the Lord God wired us that way.
Amen.
He made us that way.
Amen.
He made us as beings that want to see a reward sooner or later.
Amen.
We are not made that way that we can live our whole lives never knowing what this will bring, what this will give us, what kind of a reward it will bring. If we are not sure about that, I think we should consider what the Word of God says. Let's read together Malachi 3, 13 to 15. Malachi 3, 13 to 15. That is right after the passage where God speaks about the tithe. And it's another very important opening here. Malachi 3, 13 to 15. And this part of the Bible actually shows us what will happen if we are not sure what this reward will be. Malachi 3, 13 to 15 in the Message translation. God says, "You have spoken hard, rude words to me." You ask, when did we ever do that? When you said it doesn't pay to serve God. What do we ever get out of it? When we did what he said and went around with long faces, serious about God of the angel armies, what difference did it make? Those who take life into their own hands are the lucky ones. They break all the rules and get ahead anyway. They push God to the limit and get by with it. Of course, this is not what we believe. Of course, this is not what we purposely plan to say. But many times it is what we think. And in our weak moments, we might also utter these words. Let's remember what God says about this kind of words. He says, these are harsh words, hard words, stout words in the King James Version. Words that don't please me because they're not true. If you think about what kind of words wouldn't please God, it must be words that are not true. God is against lying in any form. He's not a liar, and so he is against lying. And if you say some untruths about him, you lie. And to say it doesn't bring anything to serve God is a lie.
Amen.
But it is a lie that the devil very easily can sometimes bring into our lives. And it is a devastating lie. It can be a devastating lie. If you follow it, you may come to the point where you do not longer know why you actually serve God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a sad state?
Yes.
That would be very sad.
Amen.
And you might go ahead and go through the motions, but there is no life in it anymore. And that is also a sad state. Who wants to serve a living God in a dead religion? Actually, it's funny. It's a funny picture to serve a living God through a dead religion. You cannot serve God through a dead religion because God is alive. He is alive. He is powerful. He wants us to share his life. He wants us to share his power. He wants us also to share his joy, by the way.
Amen.
God is very joyful.
Amen.
He has no problem up there on the throne.
Amen.
He's not sad all the time.
Right.
Probably he don't read the newspaper every day. And he don't watch his CNN. Oh, let's watch CNN. Gabriel, Jesus, Holy Spirit, let's watch CNN. Let's see what's going on down there. No, that's not what God is doing.
Amen.
He knows the end from the beginning.
Amen.
It's not necessary that he watches CNN.
Amen.
And it might also for you not be necessary to watch CNN.
Amen.
You should better take this time and read your Bible.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So this is my starting point. And my main point today is actually the connection, to show you the connection between faith and reward. The connection between faith and reward. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is one of our most famous Bible verses, especially in the faith camp,
Amen.
The so-called faith camp. We know it by heart. I mean, Hebrews 11:6, our Bibles open automatically at this point.
Amen.
But sometimes I wonder if we really understand what it says, or if we only take one part of it and then go without even thinking about what might be in there. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. That is true. Absolutely true. If you have no faith, you cannot please God. And then he gives an explanation for that. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Very, very simple. That's the most easiest thing that you can do, actually. You must just believe that God is,
Amen.
That he exists,
Amen.
That there is a God.
Amen.
That's the easiest plane that you can get on,
That's right.
to believe that he exists.
Amen.
And now comes our big task, and that he is the rewarder
Amen.
Of those who earnestly and diligently seek him.
Amen.
It says in the Amplified Bible.
Amen.
We must not only believe that he exists. Of course, that is what we do as Christians. We believe that there is a God. Amen.
Amen.
And no one can convince us otherwise. That is what we have experienced. God came into our lives. He changed our lives. He made new everything. He made us new creatures in Christ Jesus. We know that.
Amen.
You cannot bring us away from this truth. But that is not the only thing that we must believe. And I think sometimes that most Christians stay with this first part of the verse. They rest in their belief or in their faith in God. And that goes as far as it goes. But it only goes so far. It goes not very far. Because every Catholic believes in God, believes in the existence of God. Actually, Muslims believe in the existence of God. So where is the difference? We must also believe that God is a rewarder of those
Amen.
That seek him.
Amen.
And this seeking thing, let's consider this a little bit. Is it enough to seek God just casually? Oh Lord, we seek you. We seek your presence. We come to the church. We seek your presence in the worship time. Is that the kind of seeking that God means? I think he means a little bit more.
Amen.
Therefore, the Amplified Bible says, and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him out. You must give some effort to that seeking. You must become a God seeker. Hallelujah. A God seeker that is not only seeking for seeking's sake, but wants to have a reward in it.
Amen.
That is the main thing.
Amen.
You must believe that God becomes your rewarder once you seek him.
Amen.
Once you come to him, once you approach him with your prayers, with your problems, with your hopes, with your fears, with your dreams, with your visions. Approach him and let him be your rewarder. Don't think it's all for nothing. It's not for nothing. It's for something. Hallelujah. This church has a reward. This pastor has a reward. Not only in heaven, but also here. Part of the reward is to see you all every Sunday. Hallelujah. That's part of a pastor's reward, to see his sheep every Sunday, to see his sheep grow,
Amen.
To see his sheep become strong, God-fearing people, hallelujah, that stay in faith, that live in faith, that get their reward themselves.
Amen.
Now this word in the Greek for rewarder is a very interesting word. It's the Greek word mistapodotes. Mistapodotes, it comes from mistapodosia. It means one who pays wages or a rewarder. Literally, a reward or wage that comes on feet. If you take this word literally, mistapodotes, from mistos and podes, that means reward that comes on feet. Isn't that interesting? If this would be your reward, it's my feet that bring it to you. And God wants to be your rewarder in that kind of fashion. He wants to come on his feet to bring your reward to you. He wants to be your rewarder. But many Christians are so humble, of course in a wrong sense of the word, so humble that they don't even want a reward. Don't give me a reward. Don't talk to me about reward. Are you one of those prosperity people? Yes, I am one of those prosperity people. I really believe in prosperity because that's kind of a reward. The prosperity that comes from God, from Jehovah Jireh, is a kind of a reward in this life and also in the life to come. Do you expect to live a prosperous life throughout eternity? I really hope so. I really hope so. I really hope that you have the hope and the faith that in eternity there will be no lack, not even for you. Hello.
Amen.
Let's not be humble in the wrong sense of the word. Because if you are humble in the wrong sense of the word, you never want any reward. Oh no, God, I'm doing that all for your sake, for your name's sake. I'm seeking your face just to seek your face. No, don't give me anything, Lord, I'm fine. Even though you're sick and broke. We think that's funny. And actually it is funny. But may I tell you something? For God, it is not funny. For a loving father, it is not funny. It is not funny for God if you push back his reward. Or even the thought about a reward. This is my son Jeremy. He's a strong young man. He's in his right mind. But if I would bring him a reward, if I'd like to give him something, for example, money. And he says, oh no, pops. Oh no, I don't need anything from you. Come on, give that to mama. Give that to my brother Jasper. I don't need that. I'm fine by myself. Don't give me a reward. I'm just fine to stay in your home. If he would give me a response like that, I would start to think if he is still in his right mind. Amen. Wouldn't you with your child? It's just crazy how we think sometimes as Christians. Faith and reward. Hebrews 11:6 we read. Mistapodotes. Now you know the Greek word for a rewarder. Let's come to another scripture. Hebrews 10:35-38. I'm reading the American Standard Version, Hebrews 10, 35 through 38. Cast not away therefore your boldness or your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Your boldness, your confidence has a great recompense of reward.
Amen.
What about your boldness? What about your confidence? Are you bold this afternoon? Are you confident in your God this afternoon? Are you confident in your faith this afternoon? Do you think your faith is enough for the next week? That will have a reward.
Amen.
Oh no, Pastor, my faith is just enough for this Sunday and this Sunday evening. And I'm watching some TV this night, and tomorrow I don't know how I can make it. Sad. Very sad.
Amen.
You lost your boldness. You lost your confidence. And if you lost your boldness and your confidence, you also lost your reward. Your sense for a reward. Every day with the Lord, every day that you walk in faith, should also be marked by an expectation of a reward.
Amen.
I'm doing it for something. Lord, I want to see something. I want to see something come out of this. I want to see a much bigger church. I want to see much more sheep.
Amen.
I want to see much more money set free for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I want to see a good life for my family and me.
Amen.
As a reward.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord, I'm not being humble here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Cast not away therefore your boldness, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that having done the will of God, ye may receive or gain the promise.
Amen.
For yet a very little while, he that cometh shall come and shall not tarry, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What a part of scripture. That is a part of scripture that we should read very often. Because it talks so much about our present situation. See, there are certain scriptures that talk about very specifically our present day situation. Our situation in this life. And that will remain that way until the Lord comes back.
Amen.
You see? And it talks even about the coming back of the Lord.
Amen.
To live by faith also means to be patient. To live in patience. To wait for the promise. I think that's the problem that we sometimes have. We are too impatient.
Yeah.
Everything must come today. Must be today. Really liked what Pastor Karen told in the beginning about her playing the guitar in the worship team. 1996, was it? That you had a half-year vision for for retire from the worship team. I remember you very well standing on this stage and playing the guitar. That's actually what I missed today. No, I think that's part of the promise. That's part of you getting into the rest of faith in this regard. Hallelujah. But it took 17 years.
That's right.
And many things in our lives may take much longer than we think or wish.
Amen.
What are we doing with that?
Yeah.
Do we give up very quickly, very easily, if things doesn't go our way? If things doesn't go as we have planned them to go? That's not faith. Faith holds fast.
Amen.
To the promise.
That's right.
Even if the promise might seem to tarry longer and longer and longer.
That's
not easy sometimes.
Amen.
But it has a reward.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you out for the reward?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And then not only the reward shall come, but he that cometh shall come.
Amen.
The Lord himself shall come. Actually, our main reward that we will have for our faith is the Lord himself.
Yes.
The Lord himself will be our biggest, greatest reward.
Yes.
Let's never forget that.
Amen.
With all material blessings, with all spiritual blessings, with all the things that we might see in this life and in the next life, our main reward is the Lord.
Yes.
To see him face to face, to see him the living God, to see him the living Christ. Hallelujah. To let him explain to us what he did for us and what it cost him to do all that for us.
Amen.
All that will be worth it all. I'm looking forward to that day.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, you're real. Hallelujah. It's not that we don't know that he's real. You know what I mean by that, if I talk that way. In this life, in this earthly life that we live, sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we ask, is it really all true what we believe? It is. It is. And then we will see that it is. And that will be a wonderful day. But if we shrink back, his soul has no pleasure in us. That brings us back to Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. If you shrink back from the promise, if you shrink back from your boldness, from your confidence, the Lord's soul will have no pleasure in you. Amen. That doesn't mean that he don't loves you anymore, but he has no pleasure in you. Yeah. I mean, my little sonny boy here, I really love him, but sometimes he does things that I have no pleasure in. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes he says things to his brother or his mom or even to me that I have no pleasure in. And I wished he would leave it alone. But I still love him.
That's it.
Amen. But the Lord doesn't want only to love us. He also wants to have pleasure in us. Because also the Lord is out for a reward. The Lord wants a reward for all his work and all his things that he has done on the cross,
right,
and in dying.
Amen.
And in his substitution for us.
Yes.
He wants a reward, and his reward is you and me.
Amen.
Is you and me.
Amen.
Part of the reward was that he could give the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Part of his reward is to see us all being born again, being in Christ and everything. But don't you think that you and me, you and I, that we will be his very living reward throughout eternity? That he could get you? That he could get me? Oh, hallelujah. For him, that was worth the cross, to get you and me. Let's read another scripture that is about the reward and how important it is to look on the reward. Hebrews 11:24-26. Hebrews 11:24-26. I'm reading the American Standard Version. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith. You know, mostly every verse in Hebrews 11 starts with by faith. By faith, also Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He was a stepchild. He grew up at Pharaoh's court. His position was one of the best that you could get in Egypt. Let's keep that in mind. Verse 25, choosing rather to share ill treatment with the people of God. They were being ill treated, very much so back in Egypt, than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. The life that he could have had in Egypt, the Bible calls it sin for a season. For a time of your life, you could have sin in this life. You could enjoy sin even. Sin is not absolutely without joy. Sin can be a joyful experience sometimes, but it's still sin. And Moses, by his own decision and by faith, he refused to live in sin any longer at a certain point of time. Verse 26, accounting the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked unto the recompense of reward. Oh, hallelujah. That is as non-religious as you can get. Here we have a man of God, chosen by God, called by God, Moses, who by faith wouldn't be Pharaoh's daughter any longer. He chose rather to share ill treatment with the people of God. Let's read the Message translation here. By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of being of the Egyptian royal house. He chose a hard life with God's people rather than an opportunistic soft life of sin with the oppressors. He valued suffering in the Messiah's camp far greater than Egyptian wealth because he was looking ahead, anticipating the payoff.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All that he did not only because it was the right thing to do. We sometimes think, yeah, we must live right because that's just the right thing to do. But Moses tells us otherwise. The Bible tells us otherwise about him. Yes, he did the right thing. Yes, he chose to suffer with the Israelites. But he also had a reward in mind.
Amen.
And he had not only had it in mind, he saw it. He looked to it. This was very important to him. What was the reward that he had his eyes on, that he looked upon? Let's imagine a little bit. He saw the whole people of Israel come out of bondage, yeah, out of slavery.
Yeah.
He saw them come into the promised land. Oh, hallelujah. What a reward to bring a whole people, a population of about 2 million people from one nation to their own nation, to their own country.
Amen.
That's a reward. That's a rewarding thing to do. It's a rewarding thing to be a pastor, to see people come out of the bondage of slavery, out of the bondage of darkness, out of whatever you were in back then, and to bring those people into their personal promised land. The blessings that the Lord has for them. That's a reward. What else might he have seen as a reward? I'm sure, he also saw the Messiah coming out of this very people. The Messiah, not only victor over sin and death for the Israelites, but also the Redeemer of all mankind.
Amen.
I'm quite sure he saw that as an ultimate reward. That he will pave the way for the people out of which the Messiah came out, to be able to be a redeemer for all mankind. You could be thankful to Moses eternally for that. When you come to heaven and look for Moses, he's somewhere there. He could be found, I guess. Maybe you know him. Somehow you just see that must be Moses over there. Don't you believe that heaven works that way? I think we will know each other in heaven. We will know each other. We will even know the people that we didn't know on this earth.
Amen.
Like Moses, Jacob, Abraham, Paul. I'm quite sure I will spot out Paul over there.
Amen.
When you get to Moses, shake his hand and say, "Thank you, Moses. Thank you, Moses, that you brought out the Israelites from Egypt to be a breeding place for the Messiah."
Hallelujah.
And that was very important. I'm sure he couldn't do it otherwise. And that is one of my main points this afternoon. Don't think you can do it without. You will fall along the wayside. You will get to stumble at some place in your life if you don't look out for the reward, if you think you don't need that. It will get very hard at a certain point. Believe me, I'm now a believer for 28 years. In the first few years of my faith life, it was very easy. My conversion was very fresh. The reality of the Lord was very strong in my life still. But after a few years, after some decades even, what do you think happens in a person's life if you don't look out for the reward? If you lose sight of the reward? It can become very discouraging, very hopeless sometimes. So let's not be humble in the wrong sense of the word. I especially like the wording here of the Message Bible, anticipating the payoff. You have to anticipate the payoff. You have to anticipate the reward that is coming your way. The things that will happen because of your obedience. The things that will happen because you pay your tithes. The things that will happen because you are part of this church.
Amen.
For 17 years now.
Amen.
Some of you.
Amen.
The things that will come your way and Pastor Karen's way and this church's way. Because you will stay another 17 years in this church if the Lord tarries. There will be a reward. You will be one of the faithful. That is something in the last few years that has become big in my mind. That the Lord is looking for faithfulness. The Lord is not looking for charismatic people. The Lord is not looking for good-looking people. The Lord is not looking for talented people even. The Lord is just looking for faithful people. And it's much better to be faithful if you have to decide, if you had to decide between good looks and faithfulness, please choose faithfulness.
Amen.
I think that's also good advice if you're not married yet. Look for a faithful person.
Amen.
So my last point this afternoon is anticipate your reward. Actually, this goes through the Bible from Alpha to Omega. In Genesis 15, verse 1, after the Amplified Bible I'm reading, we read, "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abram, I'm your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great.'" Abram was who? The father of faith. The first man to have real faith, if you want to. The father of faith. The man that defined faith. Defined it by going out of his father's country. Following the word of the Lord. Following the call of the Lord. Believing the Lord for a son. When actually, from the natural standpoint, no son could come ever. That was his faith. And then, when the son was there, through a miracle, through faith, after a certain time, by faith, brought this son, this very son, the promised son, to the altar by faith, to offer him back to God. This is faith. But God told him, "Your reward shall be exceedingly great." The outcome of your faith will be a big reward, an exceedingly great reward. So if you consider your faith this afternoon, if you think about your faith, and if you think about what your faith will bring you in the next few years, or even in the next few weeks, or months, or decades, if you think about what your faith shall bring you, also think about the reward that it shall bring you. And then it will surely bring exceedingly great rewards. Matthew 10, 41. Jesus tells this, "He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." What does that mean? He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet. That actually means he that receives a prophet because he is a prophet. You could receive a prophet also for other reasons. Let's say, for example, there comes a prophet who is very charismatic and good-looking and always brings some gifts with him and some money with him to give to the church. Usually it's the other way around. We give money to the prophets. Yeah. But let's consider a prophet like that. You might receive him because he's so very good-looking. He's so very charismatic. Everything's so nice about him. That could be a reason to receive a prophet. But then you do not receive him because he is a prophet, but just because he's a nice looking man. If you receive a prophet because he's a prophet, then that means you acknowledge the calling of God on his life. God uses some very unusual people sometimes. Did you know that? And it's your choice how you handle those people that God sends your way. Will you receive them as a prophet or just as another guest speaker, for example? Just another guest speaker from a suburb of Zurich that brings us the word of God. If you received me this way this afternoon, you will probably not have much reward about it. There will not be much reward of that. Because then the words that I brought to you would just be other words. Just some words out of the Bible, a little bit explained. But if you took me as a prophet this afternoon, then this message could change your life forever.
Amen.
Amen. Then a great reward could come out of it.
Amen.
And that's how it always works, you see. Even with the most anointed man of God. I'm brutally honest today. I have been sitting in meetings with Brother Copeland. And I was not interested in one word that he said. I just thought, well, it's Brother Copeland again. It's his message of blessing. It's his message of prosperity again. It's his message of faith again. Or it's his message of fear not again. Do you know what I received out of those meetings? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I could have stayed home. Amen. And my wife, who was sitting right next to me, she anticipated every word that that man said. Oh, hallelujah, it's Brother Copeland again. And he encourages me to stay in faith. And he encourages me to believe for my prosperity, to believe for my healing. Oh, it's Brother Copeland again. Hallelujah, it's Brother Creflo Dollar again. Hallelujah. He preaches me hot. But even in a meeting with a very anointed man like one of those that I mentioned, it can be very boring and business as usual, and you think, what's it all about? And the sad thing is, you will have no reward. You cannot go to God and say, but God, I have been sitting in that Brother Copeland meeting. Shouldn't I get the reward of faith now? No, you will not. Because you didn't receive that man as a prophet. At least not this time. Not today. So you will not have a reward. You will not have the same reward as Brother Copeland. And that is actually the name of the game. We should receive those people to get the same reward. You should receive Pastor Karen as a prophetess of God. Because you want the same reward that is on her life. Part in every soul that she reaches. Part in every life that she changes through her anointed preaching. If you receive her as a woman, a real woman of God, you will have part in that reward.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But if you sit here on a given Sunday afternoon and think, oh, it's just Pastor Karen again. I think I'm going to sleep. You will have no reward.
That's right.
You still will be a member of this church. Pastor Karen will still care for you. She will still pray for you. She will still believe for you. And she will still hope for you that you get out of your sleep. Hallelujah. But the reward of the prophet you will only have if you receive a man or a woman because they are a prophet. Sent by God, to say it very shortly. Sent by God.
Amen.
And that could sometimes be unusual people. Let's read another scripture. Mark 10, 29 through 30. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. The question that arose from Peter, of course, he was always the one asking questions, was, Lord, we have left everything behind for your sake. What's up to us? What is our reward? What will come our way for that? And the Lord didn't say, Peter, shut your mouth. Be glad that I called you. Be glad that you are one of the original disciples. Be glad that I built my church upon you. Whatever that means. The Lord didn't build his church upon Peter, but some people understand it that way. Be glad about all these things. Be glad about the spiritual things. Be glad that I give you the keys of the kingdom. Didn't even know back then what the keys of the kingdom were. No, Jesus didn't say all that. He was very specifically, he was very materialistic even. When he said, there is no man that has left house. Did some of you left their houses for the gospel's sake? Sometimes you leave a place because the Lord called you to another place. For missions, to start a church, to start a work, whatever. If you left your house for the Lord's sake and for the gospel's sake, you will get another one. You will get a better one. You will get it back hundredfold. And not only with the houses, but also with the other things that Jesus mentions here. Brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, or lands for my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. Isn't that a reward? There is 100-fold reward. Not only in the life to come, but already in this life. Hallelujah. He just received his house here. This nice young guy with his fiancée, they are going to marry in September. They start off living in their house. Not going to rent a flat or an apartment or something. No, he wanted to have a house. He believed God for a house. Today, after the service this morning, they called the landlord and got a positive report. Hallelujah! God can do mighty things in the life of someone that is ready to believe him for a reward. That's the reward for driving me here today, David. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, hallelujah. John 4:36. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. One of the biggest things that we can do for the Lord and with the Lord is to bring in the harvest, to reap the precious fruit of the earth, as James calls it. To take part in this soul-winning business. And every church, every good and living church, is about soul-winning. You need to have a place where the souls can come after they have been won. Amen? The soul-winning itself might be out on the streets, might be out in the city somewhere. But never think, well, in our church, it's not about soul-winning. Our church service is not very evangelistic. It must not be. Because when the people are saved, they need spiritual nourishment.
Amen.
They must grow in their faith. They must not be evangelized all over again.
Amen.
So not every service in church must be evangelistic.
Amen.
But it must bring people to the meat of the word.
Amen.
After a certain time. And that's the reason why every church is an evangelistic tool and is about soul winning and is about reaping the harvest.
Amen.
And there is a reward for that. Oh, what a wonderful reward it is to know that people came to know the Lord because of you and me. And that, for example, could be because of the money, because of the offerings that you give into missions. Every Swiss franc, every dollar, every euro that you send to Reinhard Bonnke and that he uses to bring in the precious harvest of Africa, you have part in that reward. You have part in his reward. Hallelujah. And don't think, well, okay, he's just saying that to generate some more money for Reinhard Bonnke. No, I'm not. I have no part in Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. I'm sorry. We are givers to Reinhard Bonnke from our church sometimes, but I'm not part of his ministry. But I want to be part of the soul-winning business of my God, of my Father, of my Jesus who won me, so I will win others.
Amen.
And this is very rewarding, and it should be to you too. And there is one final verse that I want to give you. Revelation 22:12. Revelation 22:12, just that you see that it really goes till the end of the Bible. This is not some special thought that I brought up just for this anniversary service so that you might feel a little better. But the reward of God is a big thing for him. So much that he, in his last words that he tells us, he talks about it again. Revelation 22:12, Amplified Bible. Behold, I'm coming soon. And I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions on and his own work merit. Hallelujah. The Lord is coming back soon, and his reward is with him.
Amen.
Do you expect him?
Amen.
Do you expect him to come back soon?
Amen.
Oh, I expect him. The longer I live, and the crazier this world around gets, the more often I say, Jesus, come back soon.
Amen.
Jesus, come back.
Amen.
Why should we want to live another day or more time than necessary without Jesus having come back? Wouldn't life be much better with Jesus here on this planet?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Maybe we sometimes think when Jesus comes back, everything's over. But the opposite is true. Not everything's over when Jesus comes back, but everything starts.
Amen.
For us, everything starts.
Amen.
The millennium starts.
Amen.
Our rewards come.
Amen.
New tasks will come.
Amen.
New work to be done
right. For
you and me. And the question, if you have been faithful with what you have been set over on this earth during your earthly life, will decide over what you can do in a millennium. That will also be kind of a reward. I want to be one of the big ones then. I'm sorry. I remember when I went to the military service, very hesitatingly and not very glad about it. But when I was in it, after a certain time, I thought, well, now that I be here, why not run for an officer? Why not be an officer in the whole thing? It will be much easier then. And so I went that way until a certain stage, till the Lord had other plans for my life. But I would have gone very high, I think. Just because I have this determination. If I do something, I want to do it right. And I want to do it in a certain position, so that not everyone can trample down on me. Hallelujah. Should we think like that? Well, in a certain way, yes. The Lord is looking out for people that are ready to take responsibility.
Amen.
Lord is watching out for people that are ready to take responsibility
right.
in his kingdom.
Amen.
And the rewards will be greater the more responsibility you take.
Amen.
Isn't that clear? Don't let the socialists talk you out of that. Hello. The more responsibility, the more reward.
Amen.
That is a biblical truth. And the socialists can never change that.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still here?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Actually, I wanted to start that way, but now I'm closing that way. I want to give you a message in tongues, and either Pastor Karen or someone else from the congregation is going to interpret it. Maybe one of my people here, I don't know. Or if no one's here, then I will interpret it myself, but I don't think that would be necessary. Brenendolo paya shema. Siliavendolo candendeleva. Brosh yambandolo cumbembre siam. Gile venentolo bakasteva moho. Brenentolo baba shiambam pankolo dombrida. De feia malashu conosta taia meira. Lovenanda leia somo. Sivanda echteke serembro pulando.
It's very clear, I have said in my word. It's very clear, saith the Lord. It's very clear, I have made it clear for you, says the Lord. I have made it clear that I desire to bless you, that I desire to reward those who diligently seek me.
Amen.
It is very clear, I have made it clear in my word, says the Lord, that you should seek after me and know that I am the rewarder, that I am the one who pays wages unto you, says the Lord, and I will do it as you diligently seek me, as you stay faithful unto me, says the Lord. I am and will be your rewarder, the one who rewards those who diligently seek me.
Hallelujah. Exactly. And it goes ahead. Remindolo bisham, deli kemendolo subrande, fejeshten akostobremam, delefo barendo jemekama, solo bredendinje le castotolu, reviendanjdolo stuki membre delefaya.
But you need to wait. You need patience. You need to have confidence that I am the rewarder. You need to know that I'm faithful to my word, says the Lord. You need to set your heart and your fix, your decision on me, says the Lord, because I have said in my word what I will do, and that which I have said I will do without any question. You can count on it. I am the wage payer, says the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exactly, that's what the Lord wants to say. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord.